The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Acme Pack and Company podcast feed. I'm Justice Mosqueda. I'm joined here by Tyler Brooks. Say what's up to the people, Tyler.
What's up, people? I think I have an idea of what we're going to talk about to start. I'm assuming it's Aaron Rodgers and not draft prospects.
Aaron Rodgers, another update. Can you believe it? Did you think we were going to be here on April 7th and not have a deal done with the Jets?
Depends on who asked me, but kind of.
Yeah, it's a mess. I don't know if the draft is an actual deadline. I think we talked about this last episode, but the Charles Robinson trade package that, you know, he reported for Yahoo Sports seems to be like what everyone else is reporting now, which is what I was told to, right? Like, I was like, believe this. So it's basically a 2023, so this upcoming draft, a second round pick the next year that they could turn into a first based off of a bunch of different type of team performance things, right? So in some circumstances, you would say, like, if they win a playoff game, or if they win a home playoff game, or if they win the division, all of those things are pretty tough. I don't know how many Packers fans need to hear this. Winning playoff games is hard, even when you have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. So I don't think any of those are a gimme. So I don't think you can bank on getting a first round pick out of that. Plus, the Jets want a 2025 pick back that would, you would assume, would be a pretty high draft pick, right? So if they're paying 2 second-round picks for 2 years of Aaron Rodgers, you could do the math there and say if he's not going to play in 2024, then the Jets are going to want back a second-round pick in 2025. There's a real chance that if the Packers accepted that trade, right? Let's say the Jets get in as a wild card team. They lose in the first round of the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers retires. The Packers would be giving up a higher pick in 2025 than what they would receive in 2024. So they would basically just net that second round Jets pick. That's why all of this stuff hasn't gone through yet. And there was the report from, I'm spacing on his name right now. He hosts a morning show for FS1.
Greg Carthen, something like that?
Yeah.
I had never heard of him before, I'm going to be completely honest.
He's a New York guy. I guess he used to be on, like, WFAN and stuff like that, which is what Francesa used to be on and stuff. Apparently, San Francisco is getting in the mix. It's not that they're, like, fully involved, but the way that he put it was, like, they're watching to see if the Jets fumble this, basically. Because I think...
Which is the probability is high. It is the Jets.
At this point, it's been 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It's been 4 weeks. So, you know, we're closer to the draft than we are Rodgers announcing that his intention was to play with the Jets, even though he's working out right now with Alan Lazard down in California.
I thought he was buying healing crystals right now. I thought that was the big thing going on.
He was, yeah. That got reported on TMZ for some reason. I don't understand how that is news. But the San Francisco offer apparently is multiple third-round picks and a first-round pick next year. So San Francisco doesn't have a first or second this year. They have 3/3. Does multiple mean 2? Does multiple mean 3? Who knows? But San Francisco is willing to give up the highest pick out of the trade package and the most amount of picks. And I don't think they're conditional. So
Yeah, when has a third round pick ever not panned out for the Green Bay Packers?
That was the response a lot of the commenters at APC had. They were like, no third round picks. Do not take them. Who doesn't know what to do with them? By the way, I did a breakdown where I went through and I reviewed every single one of Goot's picks over the last five drafts for Acme Packing Company. If you guys want to go check that out this week. You guys aren't wrong that he's been very bad in the third round. So that is great. The Aaron Rodgers update. But what we're here to talk about is the edge rushers. My favorite position.
It's just so fun.
Yeah. I watched 15 guys.
I'm proud of you, Justice.
That's why we have to release this on a Friday before I go to a WWE wrestling event that my buddies want to go to. Let me pull up the consensus board right now. I think this is a pretty good draft class. Usually there's not that much depth in like the second, third type of rounds. And I think there is actually value there this year. And with the 15 guys, I mean, maybe some of that bleeds into day three, even like the very tip top of it. I mean, I guess we'll see on draft day in a couple weeks, but.
I think the thing I enjoyed about it so much is I think there's quite a bit of the depth at the top of the draft class, but it's all definitely like a pick your flavor kind of edge class too. Like there's so many different shapes and sizes of them.
Yeah. At the top, Will Anderson, number three, Alabama guy that people have been talking about for 2 years about being potentially the top defender off the board. I think he's probably got the best chance of it. Now that the Jalen Carter stuff has happened, the defensive lineman out of Georgia, I do think, I guess let's talk about these two at the top together, because I do think Tyree Wilson, who's ranked sixth on the consensus board, the pass rusher out of Texas Tech, he transferred in from Texas A&M. I think that there's a chance that he could go first defender off the board. And I think that opportunity is Arizona. Apparently, Will Anderson has some knee issues that are concerning to some teams and not concerning to others.
Had not heard that.
I think Arizona's situation is really interesting. Is probably not the right word, but let's just say interesting to keep the conversation going. Their general manager had a DUI on his record. That is going to impact the selection of potentially taking Jalen Carter, right? Like, I think we could see how that through line gets drawn through there. So I don't think Carter's in the mix in Arizona. I think Anderson's knee is a little bit of a question mark. And then Wilson potentially could go up to third overall. I think they're both really good players. They're different. Wilson is, you know, much longer. Will Anderson's kind of like the smaller edge bender type of guy. Some people might compare Anderson to like a Von Miller. I think that's a little rich for me, but I think he's still, you know, easily one of the, both of these guys are, these two and Carter are the top three non-quarterbacks in this class, I think.
I think I understand, like I have Will Anderson as my top ranked player, right? I just think he was so special a year ago. And even this year, like with the offenses he's going against, playing against him, he still had a good year. The reason I think Wilson could go higher is because I feel like Anderson, you already know what you're going to get, right? Like you're going to get an undersized edge that can, you know, play the run fairly well. His backside pursuit is outrageous and he's going to get sacks. Wilson is this big ball of clay, like literally big, that, you know, lacks a little polish and his discipline's a little out there, but like when you can harness him and work on the technique, I mean, he's going to be outrageous, man. He's so big. When I hear Cardinals at three, though, that just sounds like a disaster to me waiting to happen. So many of these guys that they've taken in recent years where you're like thinking, like, I always think of Isaiah Simmons. Like, this guy is such a chess piece. Someone gets him in the right scheme and it's going to unlock him. And just nothing has happened.
It's not just him. It's Zaven Collins is another one. They didn't get the most out of, who was it? The Temple pass rusher that ended up going to
Hassan Reddick.
Hassan Reddick, you know, I guess they kind of nailed it with Buda Baker, but outside of that, they've been taking these project defensive guys who don't really, I mean, Kandiche was another one. Like,
they're
littered with the failed careers of these project guys. So
to me, with a new era and a new head coach and all of this, I think you would want to start it with a guy that's like super character, has had the college production. You know what you're going to get. You don't have to like really like harness him in. So to me, like, that's where I keep going back to Will Anderson. Like, to me, he's the best player in this draft class. I know he's a little undersized. You mentioned the knee thing, which I had not heard before, but I just love the way he plays against the run. Again, if you're running away from him, he's so explosive. He can catch up and get TFLs from the backside. And then as a pass rusher, I just think he's quite gifted. He's a very fun prospect. But yeah, I have top 10 grades on both the guys. Like, Anderson is just the overall guy that you want in your locker room that's a great player. And then Wilson's just the freak with the potential that's going to be outrageous.
The third guy on the list on the consensus draft board, number 15, Lucas Van Ness. Interesting watch. So I had been exposed to Anderson Wilson before, right? I don't think they're relevant in any conversation about the Green Bay Packers.
I agree.
Short of one of them, God forbid, getting in like a car accident on the way to the draft, right? Like, they're not going to be there at number 15. Lucas Van Ness, ranked 15th, should be right around that range. Technically was not a starter for Iowa. Rotated into the lineup often. Was easily their best defensive lineman, which I thought was interesting. He declared as a redshirt sophomore. So maybe it was like a seniority thing for, you know, not being named the actual starter. But I thought he was pretty good, man. He's my third ranked guy. I mean, as far as the consensus board, 1, 2, 3, I'm in lockstep with him. 1, 2, 3. It's Anderson, Wilson, Van Ness. Thought he had really good hand placement. He can convert speed into power. He locks out his arms. He uses every bit of that length that he has. I think he's a much better chase player than Miles Murphy. So, like, you leave him unblocked off the backside of the edge when you're running.
I had written that down as well.
Outside zone. He's going to chase it down. He plays around everywhere, lines up on the guard, lines up outside. He's done some pressure nose stuff. I don't think he knows how to line up in a 2-point stance yet. Like, that, like, you could see him against Ohio State, you know, two very good tackles who are going to get drafted probably in, if not the first round, the first two rounds, right? Paris Johnson will, for sure, their left tackle. He's getting lined up in a 2-point stance, and he's, like, fidgeting the entire time. Like, he can't get his base right or anything like that. Definitely could use some work on that. I think he's really green. Again, against Ohio State, there were plays where, you know, it was a handoff, and he's respecting the boot so much that he's popping CJ Stroud every single time. And it's like, settle down, buddy. You don't need to be doing that. Like, you're going to get a flag at some point. Definitely room to grow, but I think he makes sense as like a designated pass rusher type of guy. Like, he's more in the Rashawn Gary mold than like the Preston Smith mold, which,
yeah,
I don't know. Do you want to play two of those guys? I'm not totally sure, but I think he'd be pretty damn good at it.
Yeah, I mean, I have him like in the top 15, but like edge 5 sounds bad. But I mean, the top of this edge class is just all, you know, stud prospects that'll go in the first round. I wrote down a lot of the same notes you had. I noticed it. You talked about the fidgeting out of the 2-point stance. A couple times it felt like maybe it was false stepping or just like his first step isn't great to cover that ground. And that's especially hard when you're going against DeJuan Jones, who is just going to engulf you.
Massive. Who shows up at 370 at the combine.
I don't know if the hand placement or like the hand technique, I don't think he has a plan of attack besides I'm going to bowl, but he's so athletic and like strong that it works. I think he can help in the run because he has that upper body strength. But yeah, like you talked about, just super green, more reps will help, more technique work. I kept hearing about him, and I finally watched him this past week. He was like the last guy I ended up watching. And I was really worried that I was just going to be disappointed. I was not. Like, it is very fun to watch that athletic profile and a bull rusher. It's impressive, and you can absolutely see a future in the NFL there.
Yeah. I get it. If you want to make that pick, I wouldn't be mad at all. If he was pick 15, I'd be like, all right, we have two crazy pass rushers coming off the edge between him and Gary.
And you can kick him inside at times, too, which I like the idea of.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Next edge rusher, number 4. And again, we're going to try to get through these pretty quick because there's 15 of them who are ranked in the top 100 on the consensus board. Number 16 is Miles Murphy, the edge rusher out of Clemson. I watched him. I have him graded behind Van Ness. He's like right on the edge of like where you want these outside linebackers to be kind of athletically. I think that he's more in the Preston Smith role than the Rashawn Gary role. Like, he's not the best bender. He can slant well. He's a bigger body. Can play out of a 2- and 3-point stance. More of like an all-around player than anything else. He doesn't have the best get off, I don't think. But even when he was like in a 3- and 4-point stance, Clemson did crazy stuff where they would drop him into coverage. And, yeah, you know, he looked fine moving into space for one of those, you know, bigger type of guys. So if Van Ness is the Rashawn Gary who's available, Miles Murphy is like the Preston Smith, if that makes sense. I think Van Ness is a better player, but if I'm pairing someone with Rashawn Gary long term, I almost wonder if I would go with Murphy instead of Van Ness.
I love Murphy. Like, I really do. I'll push back a little on the bursts and the bend things. Just because, I mean, you look at his frame, and I tried to make it in context. Like, he is one of the bigger edges. He's,
yeah,
you know, physically similar to Van Ness, but I think his first step significantly better off the snap. And then the other thing I wrote down, I think I came away when I was watching a bunch of Clemson games really impressed with was, like, his motor and, like, effort shows up all four quarters. He's not one of these edges that, you know, gets rotated out and, like, gets gassed by the end of the game. Like, he's showing up all quarters. He's going to play the run. I just think there's such a skill set there where he does have a couple moves in his bag as a pass rusher. I do think he can cover ground, but he also has that play strength to play the run. And like you said, I think that's the best way to put it. Like, you know, if you want the complementary role to Rashawn Gary long term, Miles Murphy's that guy. I have him as edge 3. I'm a huge fan of him. I just think with that profile, athleticism, and extension or arm length, everything I saw in film, I think the profile matches to be like a really good all around edge rusher.
The fifth guy on the list, number 18, Nolan Smith out of Georgia. I don't know if he's an edge rusher. Yeah, he played in the 230s. He's obviously very athletic. He was injured for a bit last year. He looks and plays thin. I think he's, if he is an edge rusher, it's probably only with, you know, 3-4 defenses, right?
Yep.
I think if you're a 4-3 team, you're probably going to try to play him at Sam linebacker, you know, strong side, and maybe do some of like the Bruce Irvin stuff with him where he's like half an edge rusher, half an interesting linebacker.
One. I like that. Yeah.
Georgia played that dumb mint tight defense so that didn't even use a full-time edge rushers on both sides. I hate it. Don't hate the player. Just don't think he's like super savvy as a pass rusher right now.
No.
And at that point, if you're that if you need to put 20 pounds on a guy and also teach him pass rushing technique and he's coming off of injury, like, that's just a lot of stuff for me.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, just play him at linebacker, get him a couple rush reps. Like, maybe it's on third down when you're playing dime and you get to take a nose tackle off the ball. And maybe Gary is playing at like 3 technique or something like that instead of playing on the edge, and then you could turn Nolan Smith loose. But I don't know. I have him as my edge 6.
Okay.
So I guess I'm a little lower than the consensus on him.
I think the reasons I still kept him high on the board, I have him as edge 4. Off the charts, just character guy. Like, right. Hearing him talk with a coach at the combine that just spoke glowingly of him. I don't know if we should mention the coach, but should we just tell the story of what he did?
Don't mention the coach.
I'm not going to mention the coach.
Tell the story. Do not say the name of the coach.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the name of the coach. But he basically, during their interview, they both decided to take their wrestle as the interview. Because I think they just got very fired up talking to each other. What a guy. Just hearing him talk, he's very fired up. His athletic profile is so unique as an edge rusher.
Yeah.
If you put him as a wide receiver, he would have a 10 RAS. Like, that's just the kind of athlete we're working with here. I will say, I am stunned at how he handles the run for how incredibly undersized he is at that position.
Yeah. That is one benefit to his game. 6th ranked on the consensus board. So now we're talking about firm second rounder, I think. 34th overall, Will McDonald, Iowa State. This is actually my fifth ranked guy.
Wow. I like him. You do?
I like him. Yeah. Man. He's a small guy too. Played in the 230s, very athletic. Played in that terrible fake defense that we should ban and
the 3-3-5
legislate. Yeah, Iowa State plays the actual like three high safety. Like they'll play split safeties and then a post safety inside of it. It's disgusting. They basically have McDonald, who's 230, sometimes playing inside of the offensive tackle, and he's just getting windshield wiper down blocked by these massive offensive tackles in the Big 12 that they have because everyone's running counter and power. I think he has a really good spin move, good hand placement, leverage when he's not slanting and not in a massive mismatch playing inside. I think the thing that impressed me the most is this guy knows how to rush the passer, which is a breath of fresh air.
He absolutely does. Yeah.
Out of these guys, because there's so many of these guys who are just playing out of position at the college level that Will McDonald actually understands when I have an offensive tackle in a one-on-one situation and I have a two-way go on this guy, I know that my speed can beat him outside and I have a counter move that can beat you back inside. And that sounds like basic principles of football, like stuff you should be teaching at the high school level. But a lot of these guys aren't getting those looks at the college level. And that's one reason I like him. By the way, he was a Packers visit. He came in, I think, 2 weeks ago. So, you know, Green Bay should be interested in him.
Pass rushing is very impressive with him. You mentioned the spin. I've heard comps where his upside is a pass rusher. I need a second because it hurts to say out loud. Dwight Freeney.
All right. Well, that's a little much for me.
Yeah. But. Yeah, that is a lot. I have him as edge 14.
Big split.
He's very undersized. Our buddy Derek Klassen in the combine killed me with the comp, said he looks like Slenderman, if Slenderman was an edge rusher. It's bad against the run, man. Like, instead of shooting his hands, he just kind of
mentally,
like,
I'm deleting all the 4-eye film. Anything where he's lining up inside of a tackle, I'm putting that on coaching. Why did you put the 230 pounder inside of a guy who weighs 100 pounds more than you, and you're inviting a down block? So
his vibes even in that though are just like, he's, instead of trying to like shoot his hands and like keep his chest clean, he's just kind of like leaning on guys.
That's fair.
I thought that was like capital U ugly. But again, I have a day two grade on him. I think the upside is tremendous as a pass rusher. I would not want him in on early downs.
I think he's the fourth best pure pass rusher in this class.
Sure. You can say, yeah, he's a very, very good pass rusher.
Yeah. Anderson, Wilson, and then Van Ness to me. And then I would go with Will McDonald after that. Next guy, and I guess I'm looking at the consensus board now, and I think it's changed a little bit. And now I feel very chalk. Felix Anudike Uzomah, is that how you say it?
I've been saying Anudike Uzomah. I don't know.
Okay. From Kansas State. I liked him too. I have him placed exactly where we have him on the consensus draft board, which is, you know, the seventh edge rusher. I thought he can bend a little bit. He hasn't run yet this offseason because of a foot injury. Not worried about it. I think athleticism, it's there. You're going to hear me say this a lot in this class. They played that dumbass defense where he has to play inside. I hate it. Ban the Big 12 from television. Find them until they can play real four-down defenses. So there's games where, you know, he's going against Oklahoma and he's lining up inside, and Harrison, the tackle who might go, you know, in the first round, is caving his head in, but it's because he's lining up inside.
Yeah.
If you delete all those reps from your memory and you're looking at where he's going to play at the NFL level,
yeah,
he's pretty damn good at it. So I wouldn't be surprised if like that second round pick, you know, the Jets are picking around the same range, right? So whatever second round pick they end up getting, I wouldn't be surprised if like he was the pick. Like he seems to make sense in that range.
I think he's got a much better build than McDonald. like his arm length.
For sure.
You can see him get extended against the run. I like. And then you talked about guys having like a bag of tricks like McDonald already knowing how to rush the passer. It's not always pretty with Andy Dickey-Uzama, but there are reps where I like audibly, when you audibly make noises sitting alone at your computer watching film, like that's how you know you start liking a guy.
Yeah.
I've seen him pull a ghost move that was beautiful. I've seen him turn like an inside swim back out and just like cause an offensive
tackle yes.
like fall over.
Which is like, you only do that when you're lining up in a four eye. Because it's not real football. But yeah, I also saw that. And I was like, because we used to make a joke when we were in the XFL. And we were like, I've never seen an outside spin like actually work. And then I finally saw one on film from this kid. And I was like, what the hell? It was like the rules, the angles, the math of the sport has changed because of the college defenses. It's,
yeah. I have him as edge 10. And I don't mean that's a knock because it's still a top 50 grade. I have a lot of edges in my top 50. He has those flashes to me where I'm just like, this kid could be sensational at the next level.
The next guy, 45th on the consensus board, BJ Ojulari from LSU. I like him too.
Yep.
I think I watched him. He was one of the guys where immediately I'm excited because he actually has a get off, which is not
yes, he does.
Across the board in this draft class. Again, because the edge situation in college is so weird. He's battling a hamstring, so he didn't run at the combine. Doctors told him not to run at the pro day, but he still ran at the pro day. So his numbers might not have been as good as you would expect. He showed up a little under 250 pounds at the combine. He's not very strong, but he has a get off. He knows how to rush the passer. And I think his lateral agility is really good. There's a lot of guys in this class where you can let him rush the passer, but they're a C gap only guy, right? Like you want him playing a half man on the tackle and that's pretty much it. Ojulari is a guy that you could stunt. You could play inside. Like I think teams that want to play a lot of man and want to move those pieces around, I think they'll love Ojulari. Like I think,
yeah.
Patton would have liked him more than probably Barry will, but I think he's a really fun player.
I just love the effort, man. Like you said, his get-off's great. He does not slow down when contact's coming. Too many guys just like subconsciously start slow on their feet or like, I think they play to the guy and not through the guy, you know? And I think
that's why he's so good on stunts too, is because he's a loose athlete and he's like, not scared of guards. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll just half man the guard and rip him and get to the quarterback. Cool. Done.
He's a very fun evaluation because it's another high effort player, too. I really like, again, even if he's not the strongest, I think he can at least get extended and it's going to help him out a little bit. I have him as edge 8, man. Like, I really like the way his game plays. I think the dip bend explosiveness are there. I like your point about being able to, you know, mix him up on some of these scheme stuff. He's fun. It's unreal. Like we're still going through here and like just top 50 grades on so many guys.
There all the guys that I've. Yeah. So that's what 8 guys we've mentioned so far. If any of those guys are available with a second round pick that the Packers own, I'd be cool with the team taking them.
I still have more guys I'd take in the second round, but I know I'm in the minority there.
The next guy on the consensus draft board, 46, out of Northwestern. You go with the name.
I've been studying it, so don't worry. Aditamiwa Adibare.
Adibare. Okay. He's a powerful edge setter. This is the opposite of Ojulari, right? I don't think you want him moving gaps because of his lateral speed. I think he's a little stiffer there. I don't think he knows how to rush the passer yet. Like, he's a plus run defender, I think, as a powerful edge setter. But as a pass rusher, it's still all you got to coach him up. He reminds me a lot of Kentavious Street, who was drafted in the 4th round, but he was coming off of an ACL tear, so who knows how high he would have gone if not for the ACL tear. This guy's talked about as, like, a second-round pick. I think that's a little too rich for me, but I get it as the edge setter, and he's 9th on the consensus board. I have him 9th, you know, on my edge ranking. So
I also have him 9th, actually.
Hey, consensus. There we go.
To me, he's a defensive end. He's not an outside guy, right? Like, you know, hand in the dirt.
You definitely want him in the 3-point. I mean, he's playing in a 4-point sometimes at Northwestern.
Yeah.
Definitely don't want him dropping back into coverage. I mean,
no.
At this point, yeah, it's just have him set the edge because he can reset the line of scrimmage and hope that within 2 years he knows how to rush the passer. I mean, it's going to be a big coach's responsibility to get him ready.
I will say of all the edges I watch, I'm pretty confident in saying that he has some of the best teach tape as far as how you want to like take on a blocker against the run.
He's really good as a run defender. Yeah. It's just the pass rusher.
It's questionable.
I thought I was going to see a whole lot more out of someone who is that athletic. You know?
Yeah. Athletic profile is freaky. I even wrote down, doesn't look like he has a plan of attack on this pass rush, limited lateral explosiveness on twists and stunts. 100%. They show up pretty egregiously, but again, the straight line stuff, the toughness and play strength in the trenches, I don't think it fits what Green Bay is looking for necessarily. But I could schemes where I think he would fit quite well.
The next guy on the list, number 49 on the consensus draft board, Keon White, the pass rusher out of Georgia Tech. I don't know if you call him pass rusher, actually. Georgia Tech also plays that weird defense. He got a lot of four-eye looks. He is more of a length and strength type of guy.
Yep.
Converted tight end out of Old Dominion, transferred to Georgia Tech. He plays really high, and he ends up on the ground a lot. And those are the two things I wouldn't want to see out of a length and strength guy. Not the biggest fan of him. He's 10th on the consensus draft board. I ended up ranking him 14th out of the 15 edge rushers that I saw. Probably would not touch him until day 3. I don't know how you feel about him.
He is my last top 50 guy just because off potential alone. But I'm looking back at my notes now. It's one of those guys you look at, you kind of like throw a grade on there, right? And then don't really go back to it. But as you're talking about it, I mean, I literally have written down not sold on his balance. I think he could be, I think his
he's big.
Lateral agility is questionable. No one could
doubt that he's not big, but like outside of that, I don't really know what he does.
You mentioned the pad level and stuff. Like when pulling blockers are coming across the formation with him, he's just not prepared for it. You know, he's not wrong arming. He's not doing any techniques you're asked to against a puller. So he's just getting clobbered there. He's flying too far upfield. It's another guy where like the straight line explosiveness and size is what makes him so appealing. So, I mean, I have him 2 spots behind Adibare, but you know, the balance issues, if that's your game, I might go back and rewatch him and revisit this one. This might be one I marked down because, you know, I haven't really moved him around much. And now that you're bringing it up and I'm looking at my own notes that I wrote down, when you have so many notes, you just kind of like not think about it. Yeah, I might lower this guy.
The next guy on the board, this is your guy, Isaiah Foskey, Notre Dame, 55 on the consensus draft board. So we're talking about, you know, mid to late second round pick. This is right. I have 2 guys that I haven't talked about ahead of Foskey. Pass rush plans, I think he gets taken out with a chip. He holds his water as a run defender. He's a team captain. Good hand placement, but I don't think he has a lot of power. I think his bend is inconsistent. I think it's there, but it's inconsistent. Seems very smart. Is comfortable dropping into coverage. The more I watched him, because I did go back and watch him before I started ranking all these guys, I wonder if he could play linebacker like Derek Barnes. Remember we talked about Derek Barnes?
Oh, my gosh.
Was it like 2 years ago? The guy who...
Purdue, right?
Yeah, he was out of Purdue. He was a true pass rusher his first, 3 years at Purdue. And then his last year, he moved to like Mike linebacker, but then on third downs, they would still have him rush the passer. It was a very unique type of thing. I think Foskey, just based off of how he plays football, like I think he's smart enough to do that. And I think that's probably his best role because I don't – just from like a pure athletic trait standpoint, plus the fact that he's not the biggest guy, I don't know if I want him as an edge rusher full time. I think there you can maximize him more if you did get him some off ball linebacker snaps.
His measurements are like almost 6'5", 262. Do you think that's too big to play off ball?
No, because I mean the top guys in this draft are like that size when people talk about Noah Sewell and stuff like that.
Jack Campbell, edge rusher.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I did. My first exposure to him was watching Van Ness. And I was like, why is this edge rusher playing linebacker right now? This guy should be dropped down. But yeah, I don't know. I felt like watching Foskey, I was like, this is like a third, fourth round pass rusher. But I feel like he could be higher than that as a linebacker, especially in the climate today with so many just terrible off-ball linebackers in the NFL, frankly. And
yeah,
we're not seeing college develop them. I mean, the last slam dunk linebacker prospect was probably Roquan.
Yep.
He's on a vet contract now. That's how long ago that was. So, man. I'd be taking chances with some of these guys at linebacker. That's what I guess that's more of my takeaway. I'm like, oh, loaded edge class. We could find some linebackers that people aren't going to consider linebackers and draft them later.
Well, what's funny is like all of the off-ball linebacker prospects in this class are considered edges, basically, because they're so weird. Foskey, man, you have that theory, right? When you have someone that doesn't watch a lot of football, watch a football game, and then you're like,
the five-year-old test. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we did that with my girlfriend at the Notre Dame game, and she was like, this guy's impressive. He wins through athleticism sometimes on his pass rush. When you say he doesn't have a plan of attack, but there are some pass rush reps. I mean, we were there against Cal, and he has like a guy in his chest, and he's just got so much length to him that he just literally like grabs the quarterback while just totally engulfed by a blocker, brings him down. Other thing to import, like, we got Rich Bisaccia making all these moves. Foskey is a four down player.
He
multiple punt blocks in college. Just like
he would be very fun on specials. Like he's the profile of the guy who would be very good at special teams.
Yeah, I just think there's so much I liked about him. I mean, that goal line stand, back-to-back plays right at him where he just blows it up on goal line stands. I do think he's actually pretty dang good against the run because I think his technique's there and the size is there.
Sure.
Yeah, I think you're a little bit right. The bench flashes, but it's not consistent, which would make sense given his frame. But man, I'm just super high on everything I've learned about him and just like the role that he can play. I have him as edge six with the first round grade.
Ooh, big split again. I think that's what. Who are Will McDonald and Foskey are the two big ones we're split on right now. The next guy, so this is tail end of the second round, 61 overall, Derek Hall out of Auburn. Thought he was okay. Ranked in 13th out of all the guys. Not very strong. He's just at the size that you want an edge rusher to be. I, again, wrote another note of, like, he might have a future at off-ball linebacker. I think
that one I could see. I could really see that one.
He's really active, but I don't think he knows how to play the position yet. And, again, like, anytime we get hit with, like, good athlete, little small, tries really hard, doesn't know how to play football yet, I'm like, linebacker. Throw him at the linebacker coach. So that's my take on him.
See, this one I could actually see more of that role you were talking about, like the Derek Barnes role. I think this is the prime candidate for that one. I think a lot of his deficiencies in the run game are more technique, maybe not technique, but more of timing. I think he's trying to think about technique too long, and I think that's like sacrificing actual power in it. But I think he plays with his hair on fire, and he does have some of the – he might be the best inside move rusher in this class, in my opinion. I think some of the ways he sets up his pass rush is just a thing of beauty because his lateral quickness is so good. With that length that he can really pull out some nice moves, setting up a guy outside, getting across his face, getting in the pocket. And he's just one of those guys. It's like Sidney Brown in the safety class, right? Like, I think he plays like a psycho sometimes, and I absolutely love it.
I think a lot of these guys are interesting. I wonder if Green Bay will look at some of these smaller guys, because traditionally they've looked at, you know, what, like 265 and bigger for these edge rushers. And his class is pretty small. I mean, they brought in Will McDonald, who was in the 230s. So they must be looking at some of these. I just don't know kind of what they're looking at the smaller guys. I guess, you know, in McDonald's case, he's a freak athlete. Next guy, I think we're like at like 12th.
I like the pace we're going at. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I think we're like 12th on this list. 70th on the consensus draft board, Andre Carter out of Army. Yes, Army. Length and strength guy. What his situation is going to be like, we do not know in terms of his eligibility to actually play football. Military academies, the rules change constantly for these guys. And yeah. Andre Carter is easily going to be the highest draft pick out of one of these academies in a long time. Despite that, there has been no formal announcement about what his eligibility status is going to be like. So that is obviously a major factor when there's, what, 3 weeks to go before the NFL draft. With that being said, when I evaluated him, he is a long guy. He ended up being 15 out of 15 on my draft board for the edge
rushers. Really? Wow.
I think he's really stiff. That Army defense is really respected. A lot of people think that they get great coaching. That head coach, I'm spacing on his name right now. He's a coach on the defensive side, where most military academies usually go with like the offensive option, you know, run game type of hire at the head coaching spot. He's going to end up being a head coach at the Power Five level at some point. So it's not like he wasn't getting a ton of coaching or anything like that. Stiff. I don't think he has a lot of bend. His agilities were actually quietly good from his pro day. He didn't do it at the combine, but he did at the pro day. I think he could be a power rusher if he gained weight, but he worked out as a linebacker at the Senior Bowl. And he's too long and not good enough of a guy in terms of his change of direction to be able to do that. Plus you throw in the fact that you don't know if he's going to play for 2 or 3 years. I mean, big question marks, I think.
I did not watch him because of all the uncertainty. And then I heard at the Senior Bowl that he really struggled. So not a guy, actually, of all the guys on this list, I think this is the only one I did not end up watching. I watched a bunch of other random guys that were really disappointing to watch, but I did not watch the Army kid.
You can watch 2021 him against Wake Forest and watch him going against Zach Tom.
Oh,
it's hilarious because I've watched both of the Wake Forest games because obviously, you know, Army doesn't play a lot of Power Five teams, right? Because they're on the independent schedule and stuff like that. I watched both of the Wake Forest games just to get a look at him against, you know, Power Five offensive linemen. Our boy A.T. Perry doing disrespectful stuff to troops, dude. Just running right by him. I think he had like 250 yards with like two longs of like 50 yards in both of those games. Disrespectful.
As we've said on the wide receiver episode, I am getting more and more excited about the possibility of A.T. Perry in the offense, but
so I need it.
One in 32 chance, so we'll see.
Zach Harrison, Ohio State, number 76 on the consensus draft board. He was the guy I had right behind Ojulari and the Northwestern kid, whose name I can't say and don't want to butcher.
Okay, that's not bad.
I thought I was going to like him less.
I know, you were trash-talking before we even got into this.
Because I have to deal with all these annoying Ohio State fans who are like, he's going to be the next Bosa. He's the next Chase Young. He wasn't that. I mean, he was hyped up for years, but I mean, he's 6'5 and a half, 269 pounds. He's strong, can convert speed to power with hand placement. I think his foot speed as like a chase down guy is pretty clearly below average, but his change of direction is actually pretty good for a guy who's damn near 6'6 and 270 pounds. Length and strength, he gets a lot of reps inside. I think his best reps might actually be inside on those pressure downs.
Yeah, I agree.
He's kind of the guy who like fits the Packers mold, and I'm like, I don't know. If they trade back in the second round, would I be upset if Zach Harrison was the draft pick? No, I don't think so.
I mean, he's freaking huge on tape, right? Like, he just stands out. He's like a monster of a human, and then you're surprised at how well he moves. Like, is he the perfect edge rusher? Is he going to rush the passer consistently? No. But, like, from a physical tool standpoint, he's probably up there with a lot of the guys at the top of this class. It's just such a hard evaluation. I do see him as more as like a versatile piece you can move around, kick inside, you know, sometimes as a rotational guy, sometimes get out there as an edge. He's a weird one. It's not what I expected when I saw him. Like, you, when you see it and turn on the tape and see him lined up, I think you have an image in your mind of what he's going to play like, and it wasn't that. So I think it makes it a bit of a trickier evaluation. I don't know if I'm making sense there.
I think, like, the way I envision his role, right? I think you want him, you draft him to be your third rusher. I don't think you draft him to be a starter, but you draft him to be a third rusher, and he's going to be good enough at it that, like, if you lose your star pass rusher in week one to a season-ending injury, you don't have to go to the trade deadline and make a trade or go to the waiver wire or something like that and try to add a guy. Like, he can fill in those reps. And as the third edge rusher, he can then come and be like the interior pressure guy, you know, so you don't have to spend a ton of money and have like an actual pass rushing defensive tackle who costs $25 million because he's doing that at 300 something pounds. So that's kind of how I see it.
That makes a lot of sense. I like that.
The last guy on the edge rusher list, and then we'll talk about Tui Pelotu, Byron Young. He's actually now just outside of the consensus top 100, 103. This is the other Byron Young. We talked about Byron Young from Alabama, the interior defensive lineman, on the other show. This one's the edge rusher out of Tennessee. Oh boy, he can get shot out of a cannon. And that's kind of it. It's really weird to watch him. So he's a really good chase player. Like, that foot speed, that 4.4 completely translates to the field in a straight line. Dances way too much when he has two-way goes, right? Like, he's the polar opposite of, like, Will McDonald knows how to rush the passer, right? As a stunter, just completely stonewalled right now. Don't think he could play inside. So he's C-gap only. You want him jumping off the ball as fast as possible, getting into the backfield, and just using the fact that he is way faster than these offensive tackles right now. If you get your hands on him, he disappears a little bit. True edge bender project. I don't know if you can get him on the field right now, except for as like a third down designated pass rusher. I think I had him ranked 12th out of the 15 guys. Probably wouldn't even start thinking about drafting him until the third round. That's kind of where I'm at on him.
I have him as edge 13. I'm right there with you. And he'll probably drop back based on a couple of the shuffles after this conversation and going back and watching guys. I will just real quick, I'm in line with everything you said, so I don't really have anything else to add there. Actually, I will say this is kind of weird. A lot of our notes are very similar this episode, even if the rankings are a little different. He has a weird story just because he was an assistant manager at like a Dollar Tree.
He saw like a flyer up for like community college football tryouts. And he was like, yeah sure, I'll do it. And then went JUCO and then to Tennessee is kind of his story, which is crazy. I mean, the guy ran a 4.4 and he's a pass rusher. Those guys don't grow on trees, you know?
He isn't old. I think he's 24, 25, something around there. Something about Tennessee guys, man. They're all just ancient. I think at some point there's going to be like a 32-year-old going pro out of Tennessee.
He'll be an Aussie punter.
No, he'll be a guard or something. Just start his career, end it a couple of years. I don't have much else to add from him. I think I just appreciate that story. He's super interesting because of the speed rush, but he's got a lot of work to do if he's going to be more than just like a one down player.
Yeah. The last guy, and he technically, so if you want to look at him on the consensus draft board, you actually have to go to the defensive lineman, not the edge rushers. Tui Pelotu, his brother Marlon, plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. Tui Pelotu played at USC, ranked 60th on the consensus draft board right now. The reason I have him as an edge rusher and why you should too, he dropped a ton of weight between the season and when he showed up at the combine. He was kind of like a in the middle D-line tweener, or is he a bigger edge rusher type of guy? And he kind of made that decision for everyone by showing up at the weight that he did. I think he's strong, think he's squatty. Was surprised that, you know, he can drop into coverage at that size.
I
think he could be a drop end. Slanting inside is probably where he looks best. I think he can be like a Preston replacement, but it's just so funny the fact that like he looks significantly shorter than like what Preston does, but they kind of play sort of the same. I have him right between Harrison and Foskey is where I ended up ranking them.
Yeah, I mean, I've the weight dropping made me very sad. I actually had to move him across my big board from D-line to edge and put him in those rankings because he's edge 12 for me now. The fact that he dropped all that weight with his skill set and the way he was moving at 290, he didn't have the burst or get off right, like consistently bend the edge, but everything else was so good. He could have gained weight and been a, like a really rapid, quick D lineman, like hovering around 300. It's a huge disappointment to me, actually, because this was one of my favorite prospects I watched. I mean, he led the country in sacks, and I know we don't what I appreciate about our conversations, I feel like we very rarely bring up stats to talk about these guys with evaluations. And I think because they get leaned on a lot by people.
That I think the last time about. I brought up a stat was Sam Laporta's high school stats.
Yeah.
Hey, but like, I only like bringing in like the very weird stuff.
But it's not nothing, right? Like led the entire country in sacks. He's a super high effort player. He's got length. He's got size. Like you said, for a guy at that size at 290, he was listed at college to move in coverage and be asked to do that. It is pretty jarring. Super fun player. I hope wherever he goes, he puts weight back on and tries to have him play on the D-line. But sounds like the advice he's getting is he's going to be an edge. And it'll be interesting. But like you said, he's not going to be a speed rusher. He's going to be more of these Preston Smith edge setting power guys.
That's it. That's all the edge rushers. I do want to bring up one more thing. I got to find the damn link on our website. This is terrible radio. There we go. Top 30 visits for the Packers. I just want to talk over some of these with you. So guys that we've seen take literal Instagram story videos at Lambeau, Darnell Washington, the tight end at Georgia. He's our number one ranked tight end.
Yeah.
We love that, don't we? We love that, don't we? And then Will McDonald, the edge rusher that we just talked about on this episode out of Iowa State.
Third round, I'll be happy.
The other guys, safety Jamie Robinson out of Florida State. I graded him as a nickel. I'm pretty surprised that they brought him in. Don't really know what to do with that because he doesn't really fit their mold of what they want to do. And his skill set doesn't really translate great to Joe Barry's defense outside of the nickel. And this team has 1,000 nickels and like once a half a safety right now. So
if I had a nickel for every Packers nickel, there
like 50 cents. Dontavian Wicks, the wide receiver out of Virginia, ended up visiting Packers.
I honestly forgot about that one.
He was the one you told me to watch. I have not watched him because I was busy watching 15 edge rushers. I'm watching by next week.
Understandable.
Jordan Howden, the safety out of Minnesota. He was a guy I was told the Packers were actually paying really close attention to at the pro day at Minnesota. Not surprised that he was brought in. He's a super athlete. Not certain he's going to be drafted. So that might be a situation where we're getting a Rich Bisaccia special in undrafted free agency, and this guy ends up making the 53. Who knows?
Another undrafted safety. Just that's all they're going for. I ended up watching a little bit of him. He's been a starter there forever.
He was a team captain. That's like all I know. I know he's athletic. The Packers were interested at the pro day. He came in on a visit. And he's a team captain. That's it.
He occasionally gets picks, and he likes attacking the flat. Yeah. And that's all I got.
Did you think he was draftable?
No. Okay. Sorry. That was all mean.
Right. Moving on. Keaton Mitchell, running back, East Carolina. Runs like the wind. Very small guy. Thought it was interesting that they're bringing him in. Obviously, Green Bay's had some uncertainty at that RB3 spot for a while now, especially, you know, midseason release of Kylin Hill. For a lot of the season last year, they only had two running backs on the 53-man roster, and they were calling up like Patrick Taylor off of the practice squad just to be active on game day. A.J. Dillon's going to be a free agent this upcoming season. Mitchell doesn't feel like an A.J. Dillon replacement. He feels more like a – I don't even know if you want to say Aaron Jones replacement. He feels more like Tyler Irvin or something like that, like an auxiliary player. Who can also be, you know, like a quote-unquote running back. That's just kind of how I feel about the situation. He was the other guy that they brought in.
There's only one player I want in that role in this draft class, and that man is 5'5", Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce can do a little bit more than that, though.
He's
That's the problem with Deuce. He can block.
There's a reason he's on Brooks Bullies this year, man. He, again, I think I've told you, it's like the Simpsons meme of the kid diving headfirst through the window. That's Deuce Vaughn blocking.
Marty Mapu, safety, linebacker, hybrid out of Sacramento State. I think they brought him in because he has injury stuff. Okay. And I'm sure it's like we want to get an extra look there. I think that is more of a special teams undrafted free agent recruiting thing. Here are the big two. There's two more visits okay. that the Packers that have been reported that the Packers have brought in.
Yeah.
Two Tennessee guys. We told you, right? What was it last week? We were like Jalin Hyatt, Tennessee, Goot was there. They like Hyatt. That's probably who they were going to visit. Now they bring in two other Tennessee guys to Green Bay, despite the fact that they were just in Knoxville. Darnell Wright, the right tackle who also played left tackle for a little bit. And then Hendon Hooker, the quarterback who people are now saying might go in the first round. The hell am I supposed to do with this, Tyler?
Tannenbaum said he's going fifth overall to the Seattle Seahawks, the 25-year-old with injury history. I think it's sleeper cell. I think they brought him in for a visit to tell him how nice Minnesota is and that he'd be great on the Vikings and that he should play there for the rest of his career.
That's what I was like. I hope they bring Hooker in and just like ask him questions about Jalin Hyatt. But do you think it's smokescreen? It's like the Hyatt stuff got out. We got to pretend that we were interested in someone else from Tennessee that wasn't Hyatt.
I think it's twofold. You talk about they always want to bring in guys with injury history so they can take a look at them. So that's probably what they did there. Yeah. Casey falls. Maybe they consider him in the second round, which I wouldn't love. But it could be Brian Brohm all over again, right? That keeps getting mentioned. But more realistically, they probably want to talk to him about his teammates, which are Jalin Hyatt and Darnell Wright. The Wright one really interested me, actually, because we had this discussion about value and everything at 15. Once you get past like the top 10 graded guys, which is like there's like seven in this class, there's like 40 guys you could convince me they would take it 15 that I'm like, you know what? Sure. It's just like there's a big drop off in tiers after those top guys. Wright could play right tackle here, man. He might be able
to play left tackle too, depending on what the heck happens with Bakhtiari long term. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think so. I'm pulling up the Packers depth chart on our lads right now. Okay, starting lineup, right? David Bakhtiari at left tackle. He got a salary converted. There's no chance that he's going to be traded this offseason. Next year, they have a big decision to make where I think his cap hit coming in is going to be like $40 million or something like that, right? So maybe cap casualty next year. This year, he's the starter. Elgton Jenkins just signed a huge contract, not going anywhere. Josh Myers, starting center. He's okay. I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Tom pushed him for starting reps in training camp, but I don't think he's going to go anywhere either. Cheap rookie contract, just he's not moving on. John Runyon, contract is coming up, but you're getting huge value out of that guy.
And he's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets another contract, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Right, I don't think he was as good last year, but he was phenomenal in 2021.
Yeah. One penalty in his whole career somehow.
Wow.
Josh Nyman on a one-year deal. Once he signs it, he's a restricted free agent still technically for, I think, another 2 weeks, if my timeline is correctly. So someone could give up a second-round pick to sign him to a contract long-term. I don't think it's that deal isn't coming if it hasn't already happened. Then Zach Tom off the bench. Sean Ryan, who was a third-round pick last year. Royce Newman, who still has 2 years on his contract. Rashid Walker was drafted in the seventh round last year. Jake Hansen still technically is on the team. Don't really know what he's doing. Caleb Jones was a guy that they valued enough that was on their 53 the entire season and NFI, I guess, because he had mono. And then Luke Tenuta, who they picked up off of waivers, was the draft pick for the Indianapolis Colts. He was a rookie last year, too. That's a lot of names.
Lot.
That's why I didn't think that they were in the offensive line market. And I understand you can cut all that down and say there's no promise that Bakhtiari and Nyman are going to be the starting tackles for the team next year.
Yeah.
But they still have all these bodies that they seem that are seemingly invested in. They seemingly like they have so many holes on the roster and their cap situation is in such a bad spot. I thought that they would redirect it into other positions, basically.
Yeah.
But if they're going to look at tackles, right? Really like his movement skills and all that. Anton Harris, the kid out of Oklahoma.
Super
really
athlete. Too. Yeah.
Haven't seen Broderick Jones, honestly, but Paris Johnson, I don't think he's going to be there. Peter Skoronski might end up being there. Obviously, his grandpa's, you know, Packers Hall of Famer. So that would be a cool story. People are looking at him more as a guard than a tackle, I think.
Yeah.
The kid out of Northwestern. But yeah, I mean, if you want to use 15 attack, like this is kind of the year to draft an offensive lineman at 15. Like, I think everyone talks about the tight end class and stuff like that being so deep. Like, the tackle class, I think, is being really underappreciated right now because the way I see it, I haven't seen Jones, but if Jones is anywhere as good as people make him out to be, that's five tackles that are easy first round picks. And a class that don't have a lot of easy first round picks.
Jones and Paris Johnson are like 1A, 1B, OT1 for me right now. Like, they're both completely different players, but they're both very fun. Yeah, man, I would get it. It wouldn't be like the most exciting pick, but I could get it. I do love Wright's hand usage. You're not going to see a lot of guys that they can work counter moves at the college level on pass rushers, again, especially SEC pass rushers. He was a fun watch.
Yeah,
I'm not totally sold on his anchor, but we've talked about that before. That doesn't stop guys from becoming NFL greats, just like Bakhtiari.
I saw a lot of Wright this week. I'll take him. I saw a lot of Wright because a lot of these guys are SEC pass rushers. I don't want to run through 15 names, so I'm just going to leave it at, if you want the full rankings, go to APC and we'll have it all written up and stuff like that. I think next week, because we're out of positions now, right? We've done it. We've safety, tight end, defensive line, wide receiver, edge rusher. We've got the big five needs. I think what we're going to do next week is go through and do the gold stars, the like our guys at each position. That sound good to you?
Yeah. Do we make a big board out of that at some point?
Yeah, let's do it. We can throw it up on the site.
I like that.
We'll do that.
We're almost there. We're almost there, man. 20 days so from close. Today.
I'm about to blow off some steam by going to WWE SmackDown, Friday SmackDown, dude.
Where is it at? So Portland? Excited.
Portland Motor Center.
I've never watched wrestling in my life. I don't think I've ever told you that.
What? Really?
Ever? Ever.
Oh, my goodness. See, big Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Hulk Hogan, like bad Hulk Hogan, dressed in all black, Kurt Angle fan over here.
You're speaking. I don't speak Italian.
Oh my goodness. All right. Go Pat, go.